good evening and welcome to the Super Licensed F1 Podcast. I'm Rodney.
I'm Zach. How you doing?
Not too bad. It's another Grand Prix weekend, Zach. This week we went to the Chinese Grand Prix, and did you think the race was good in general?
Yeah, I thought it was. It was kind of a bit boring, so yeah, but it was fine.
I guess it had good and bad points, a little bit of a lackluster ending, but we'll get to all that in just a minute.
Yeah.
Maybe before we do that, you want to talk about some news?
Is that a rhetorical question? Yeah, sure. News. Sure. Let's talk about it.
Guido van der Gaard. Hey, how are you? I was going to say a Dutch swear word. It's the only Dutch word I know, but I don't know. It's what does that mean? Okay, it's not so bad. Oh, phew. Oh, it's the only Dutch word I know.
Where do you want to start? Maybe let's talk a little bit about Fernando Alonso. This guy is, I'm having a good authority. This is your favorite driver.
He is. He's my favorite driver. I have a towel that you bought me with him on it. There is a famous Facebook picture of me pretending to be his head. There's a famous Facebook picture of me pretending to be his co-driver. Look, me and Nando go way back, but I'm sick of him. Yeah. You know what? You know, we could be co-drivers, but he's playing. He's playing.
Yeah, absolutely. He's trying to play us all for fools because he's come out this week and said, I will finish my career with McLaren. And a lot of people pointed out to us, especially on social media, and rightly so. He said that when he was at Ferrari as well. Like, he probably, I just imagine someone was on like a soccer team or something with Fernando when they were 12, and he was like, I'm going to finish my soccer career here. And they were like, yeah, right.
Yeah, as if, mate. So, you know, I don't think he's got it in him to drive for anybody else. But that being said, maybe he'll just drive until he's 50 because he can keep driving crap cars for the rest of his career if he wants.
I mean, also, this is Formula One. You know, I'm sure when he went to McLaren the first time, he thought it was all going to be roses, and that didn't really turn out to be the case. So, you know, let's just keep an open mind maybe on that one. But for the record, that's what he said he'll do.
Yeah, exactly. And who can we believe but the man himself?
Yeah. Well, speaking of believing people, we've had a renewed threat this week from Red Bull ahead of this race saying, I know that we always say this, and it sort of comes and goes, but this time we're serious. If things don't start turning around in Formula One, we actually may leave. And the quote from Dietrich Mateschitz was, we'll only stay in Formula One if we have a competitive team, so we need a competitive power unit for that. Obviously putting the heat back onto Renault, and we've kind of talked about it on the show here, that Red Bull's problems may not be completely Renault's issue, but yeah, I mean, this is starting to actually look like more of a serious threat. They can only create so much smoke without some of us thinking, might be a little fire in there, maybe not a big one.
That's the thing, it's Mateschitz. You know, he's the man, he's the boss. If he's just like, this is dumb, it was great when we were winning and it's not great now, it's only a garage project for me. It's a marketing arm, so let's just dump it. You know, he doesn't care. I mean, sure, he probably cares a little bit about Daniel Ricciardo and Daniil Kvyat and the rest of the staff and everything, but as we discussed on the last episode, if he can package it up and sell it off to somebody, make a tidy profit and go into a different sport or spend that marketing budget somewhere else, he will. It's a business.
More than anything, I think, I mean, they just have such a rich history in recent years within the sport. This isn't like a Sauber who's been around for decades but has really struggled in the last 10 years or so, let's say. This is a team that 2 years ago was mopping the floor with everybody. So I actually think that, well, I go both ways. I'd like to see them stick around for another couple of years, but obviously if things don't work out for them and they want to leave, it might be best if they just do.
Exactly. It's turning into Dietrich Mateschitz or don't give a shit. That's the man. I had that one in my back pocket, whipped it out just for you.
One of us has to be bright. It's too early for me to make jokes like that.
I've been scribbling goofs all day, Rod. I'm prepped. 10 p.m. here, 7 a.m. there. All the goofs. All right. Do you want to talk about Roberto Merhi?
Yeah. How do you reckon you say his name? Because I'm still completely confused.
Roberto Merhi.
Merhi?
Yeah, the Merhi's the easy part. It's Roberto that's difficult.
Yeah, sure. Okay, sure. In case you didn't know, yeah, he does actually drive. He hasn't had much airtime lately, but he is driving in one of those Manor Marussia cars. He's come out this week and said that I'm just going to spend about, you know, half of my time driving in Formula One and about half of my time driving in Formula Renault 3.5. I don't think he means by that I'm only going to drive in half of the F1 races, although that could happen. I think what he means is my thoughts and my efforts and my time are going to go into both sports. I'm going to try and do both. It was a comment that caught me on the back foot, really, because I'm not sure I really want drivers who aren't 100% committed to Formula One all the time. And I know they're a backmarket team. I know you could say he's just out there for practice and getting data for the team. He's not actually really racing. But I mean, I want guys there who are racing. I don't want guys who are there thinking, oh, well, once I finish this race, I've got to jump on a plane and go drive in an inferior car somewhere else.
Yeah, it's, you know, we know that about Mana Marussia, that they are 100% committed to this. They're working their butts off to get those cars race ready every weekend for a competition where they're not even close, you know. So you would expect Roberto Murphy to be jumping at the opportunity and jumping up and down, but maybe he's just being really straightforward. He's like, look, there's only so much I can do. You know, we hear about great drivers like Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, Fernando Alonso giving heaps and heaps to their team, you know, analysis, data, feedback, staying late in the paddock and feeding all that in and going into the simulator all the time. But if they don't have the facilities to support that level of interaction with him, then what's he got to do, maybe? You know, that could literally be the case, that it's like studying an arts degree. Maybe he's only got 12 contact hours a week.
I think part of his argument for wanting to race in a more competitive series is that it'll help him develop his skills. And obviously he's got a foot in the door now in F1, but if you're at the back just following people around, you're basically just testing. You're not actually getting any, you're not improving your skills in the wheel-to-wheel racing, or you've got very limited opportunity to do that, where he will get that in the Formula Renault 3.5. He has said some things recently, though, that, you know, along the lines of, well, maybe I'll do so well there that I'll be so far in front in the championship that I can just skip the last few races and then come back to Formula One. That's the mentality of this guy. And it's those comments that I'm just not so sure about. And it's just putting a little bit of doubt in my mind. And he got beaten pretty comprehensively this week by Will Stevens. So this could be interesting. I don't know if he'll make the year out, to be honest.
No, I can't imagine the Boffins at Mana Marussia are sitting back going like, yeah, this is the kind of guy we want in our team. We want a slack worker who thinks he's the best in the league, that is God's gift to Formula One racing. Well, all racing types. Why don't they have a Max Verstappen in their team that's just some gun kid? You know, get it. See, they had the opportunity last year to grab like a 15-year-old before the rules changed. Now they're stuck with these late teenagers, none of these mid-teens.
Yeah. It's like when you go from primary school to high school, and Mehi just wants to go back to primary school so he can splash around like a big fish in a small pond. Come on, man. It's a big world out there. Just man up and do your best, okay?
No, you know.
Man or up and do your best.
Man or up. You know what should happen? Fernando Alonso and Jenson Button should also go to the 3.5 and just be like, hey, mate, we're not doing too much racing either. So why don't we all just hang out in this lower division and see how things go down?
I heard there was more competition down here. Let's see if that's really true. Do you have any other news before we get to our final little throwaway story?
No, I don't. I love this throwaway story, though. It's like with the nightly news and we've got the puppy story at the end to be like, and this week... What happened this week, Rod? Yeah. What's the puppy story?
I really like it too. A guy ran across the straight in free practice too. Just decided, I've had enough with this sitting in the grandstand. I want a bit of the action. Just jumps over the fence, runs across the main straight into the pit garages. And apparently he got as far as the front of the Ferrari pit garage and was only stopped by a couple of Ferrari engineers who just went, can we help you? And reportedly he said, it's okay, guys. I just thought I would come over and see if I could test one of the cars. Like, I don't know what response he was expecting. Oh, yeah, sure. Go ahead. Just go right ahead. Maybe you'll be really good. Who knows?
You made it this far. I mean, you know, it's like if you just slap on a high-vis vest and walk onto any construction site, people don't give you a second look. So maybe if he...
That is true.
He's like, I'm wearing all my fake Ferrari gear. If I just run over there... I can imagine the language barrier might have been a bit interesting, though. Cantonese or Mandarin into Italian.
I mean, this is obviously dangerous, and I wouldn't encourage anyone to do this, but also something about it. Now that I know everyone got out safely, there is a bit of a smile on my face at this one.
Yeah, it's just a bit silly. It's funny, though, because I equate it to being a streaker. And, you know, sport here and sport internationally, generally, if there's a streaker, they don't put it on the TV or make any comment over it because they don't want to encourage the activity. Mm. But here it was like, oh, my gosh, look, there's a man. It was the story of the day.
Let's see who else made the story of the day. When we look at the Chinese Grand Prix, listener predictions.
This moment came to me in a dream.
Sometimes it's so close, it's scary.
Predictions.
It's scary.
I can feel it down in my lungs.
I'm not letting you get off with that segue.
What was
that? That segue. Are you serious? I'm writing that one down as your worst of the season so far.
Oh, come on. If that's my worst, then I'll be happy with that.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so predictions. The results. Let's look at the Grand Prix results first of all. You wanted pole for Hamilton. You wanted win for Hamilton. And you wanted 10th for Ericsson, the guy I predicted last week. He couldn't manage to do it. Too much to ask, apparently. So, Zach, you had Rosberg to take pole, Rosberg to win, and Perez for 10th. Mm. And I had Rosberg to take pole, Hamilton to win, and Alonso for 10th. Perez came 11th, Alonso came 12th. So, I mean, this is actually pretty close one. This is line ball between us, I reckon.
Exactly, except I keep backing the wrong guy. Rod, what I'm doing here is I'm picking Rosberg in sort of hope for the championship every week. But I don't know if he knows that. So if someone is close to Rosberg, let him know that I've got his that I want him for the sake of the competition to at least get a pole position this year. I'm not even saying you have to win. Just keep it interesting.
We can someone send him something on Instagram or something and just get the message through. Rosberg, please win.
Yeah. Just do something. Jeez. Anyway, surely there were people who were closer than us.
Oh, you know, there absolutely were. So let's talk about a few of them. The first one I wanted to shout out was from Scott. Scott sent us a prediction for Rosberg for pole, Rosberg to win, Kvyat for 10th. Scott also sent us an F1 dream. So just teasing that, if you're an F1 dream fan, time to get excited now so that when it comes, you're excited already.
That's the sizzle rods.
Another great one that we got was from Karen Vinter. I always expect good things from Karen. She sent us a crazy emoji prediction, so... It took me and Innocent Steph, it took both of us to work out what these were. I think we finally got there. But she was predicting Hamilton for pole, Hamilton to win, and Bottas for 10th.
I would love a Formula One themed emoji page.
Yeah, I mean, we're sorely lacking. We're doing the best of what we can with just the checkered flag. But there's not even a car. Give us a car, guys.
Give us a Formula One car. Gosh. Anyway, Riley Harper, what do you reckon?
The genius of Riley's prediction this week was that he predicted Edwin Moses for the podium interviews. And, I mean...
Lo and behold.
We sort of include podium interviews as like a shadowy fourth prediction, but it's so rare that someone gets one right that is so random. That was what struck me.
Exactly. In fact, I think he's got an inside line. Like, this sounds like podium...
He must do.
The podium interview prediction fixing.
Yeah, there's some performance enhance. I don't know how you enhance the performance of a prediction. Maybe you go and see a palm reader or something, but time to get into some audio predictions though. First up this week, we've got Cody from the Portland Timbros. Have a go, Cody.
Hey, Zach. Hey, Rod. This is Cody from the Portland Timbros. Sorry I haven't called in. I did tweet once and I did do a recording, but it doesn't matter because I was wrong anyway. But my prediction for China is Bottas to be on pole. I think he was one of the Williams were some of the fastest drivers for a speed trap, and China has a couple long straights, so I think that's going to help him out. But I still think Hamilton's going to win. Last week was a blip because, you know, Mercedes messed up their strategy, and they're going to sort that. And then I'm going to pick Kvyat for 10th. We'll see how that goes. So cheers, guys. Talk to you later.
Next up, we've got Doug. Doug from North Carolina. Have a go, Doug.
Hey, fellas. This is Doug from North Carolina, and these are my predictions for the Chinese Grand Prix. I think Rosberg will take the pole position, but I think that Raikkonen will have an amazing weekend and come in with the win. And for 10th, let's go with one of the Lotuses, specifically Romain Grosjean. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Doug. We've got another one here from Thomas. Now, would you say, Zach, that when you get Thomas's audio predictions, that's probably one of the best moments of your life?
Definitely the best moments. That, like, if I think back to the top 10 moments of my life, he's feeling about 7 or 8 of them.
Oh, yeah. Like, I can understand that.
There was that one time I got a free ice cream. That's pretty high. you know, and then I can't even think of my top, but it's probably a Thomas prediction.
Hi, I'm Thomas, and I'm back with my predictions for this weekend's Chinese Grand Prix. I think Lewis Hamilton will take pole position, and for the win, he's going to beat Vettel to the checkered flag. And for 10th position, I think Jenson Button is going to take the last point. Enjoy the race.
It's that lovely little sign-off, Rod. What is it?
Enjoy the race. It's like his little catchphrase, like in The Truman Show or something.
Yeah, it's the best. It is the highlight of, as we said, our lives.
We've got a couple more. We've got Fernando. Not that Fernando. A new Fernando.
Hi, Rod and Zach. Fernando from Podcast F1 Brazil here. My predictions for the Chinese Grand Prix, as I'm trying not to overreact Ferrari's result in Malaysia, will be Nico Rosberg for pole, Lewis Hamilton for the win, and Romain Grosjean for 10th place. But knowing that turns 1 in Malaysia and China are somewhat similar, we might see Marcus Ericsson spinning out again. But that's about it. Enjoy the race.
I think Fernando is one of the hosts of the podcast F1 Brazil. You can check that out if you speak Brazilian. I did. I do not speak Brazilian, so it was fun for a few minutes.
Do they speak Brazilian, or do they speak Portuguese?
Portuguese, yeah, sure.
Anyway.
I'm embarrassed myself. Fernando's never listening again. I'm sorry.
Anyway.
Thanks for your prediction, Fernando. It's very colourful. I really enjoy it. And if you ever want to do an English language podcast, not Portuguese, I promise that I'll be your number one subscriber, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Just don't do an English Formula One podcast because we got that on lock.
Before we get to the F1 podium this week, the predictions podium, we have one final audio review. Now, I can't think of any words to describe this, Zach, so you'll have to help me out. This is from Roars. How would you describe this prediction?
Surreal, maybe. I feel like surreal is the right term. Like, yeah. I didn't know what when I listened to it, because I listen to these. Like, we get a sweet preview on all of these predictions because they get emailed to us. So sweet previews. And I wasn't sure I'd press the correct button when I heard it come on. Like, I was like, oh, computer's broken, or something else is playing in the background or something. It's just, it's yeah. Don't adjust your sets. Well, this is the correct broadcast.
You're not hearing things. It's meant to sound like this. Let's listen to what we're talking about.
Hi, guys. Wars here with a prediction for the Chinese Grand Prix. How are we going to put it on pole? Uh-oh, dog. He's going to have flashbacks to 2007. Whereas, that's not the pit entry. Let's go travel another. Ross Perth going to win.
We're back. You're back to us talking. The disco, the lights are still going, but the lights are on. It's time for us to get back to talking.
Yeah.
Thanks, Roz.
Amazing.
I love that effort. That is amazing. But we have, this is actually a pretty crowded podium this today. So, I mean, you guys will all have to huddle up. I mean, it's pretty cold where I am, so you'll have to huddle up for warmth anyway.
Reinforced podium.
But this week on the third step of the Super License Prediction Podium. From Twitter, we've got John at Momomoto. He's always there, doing pretty well. We've also got Incoherent Gus. We've also got, on the third step, two audio predictions. So, sorry, third step. We'll try and get a bigger rostrum for next time. But let's hear the audio from Just Steph and Nicholas. Oh, and one last guy, Andrew Scott as well.
So, three audio predictions.
From all three of those guys.
Oh, God. Hi, guys. It's Steph here, back with my tips for the Shanghai GP. I think despite the fact that Ferrari are all of a sudden competitive, Hamilton will be putting a lid on that, quick smart, and he'll put his car on pole. I also think he's going to win from there. The 10th, I'm going to say Roman Grosjean. Have a great race, guys. Cheers.
Hi, Rod, Zach, and super fans. Nicholas here. I hope the next 3 days of Formula One will be as thrilling as this past weekend, but I somehow doubt it. Shout out to GVDG. It's not every day that a former Dutch Formula One driver retweets your forklift-related superlicense fan art. I will be resuming my Grand Prix beer tour this week with a Tsingtao, a Pilsner from China's second-largest brewery, and Mercedes-AMG Petronas F1 team will be resuming their dominance. Here are my predictions for China. Lewis Hamilton will take pole position in the win. Romain Grosjean will bring a point home to Enstone, taking 10th place. And Martin Brundle will conduct the podium interviews, tying the all-important Brundle-Jordan podium interview battle at 1. Enjoy Grand Prix weekend, everyone.
About time I did an audio podium prediction. So, for pole, Hamilton and the win, Hamilton. For 10th, Carlos Sainz Jr. And for the podium, it's China, so Chairman Mao. Thanks, guys.
Second place. Good old Honky Tonk, one of our new guys, and he's up there on the podium. He's already got a pretty good streak going early on. He just sent us his predictions. That was Hamilton to win from pole and Alonso for 10th. As you said, Alonso came 12th, so you're doing pretty well there, Honky Tonk. I reckon there's a Grand Slam not far away for you. But we've done third, we've done second, Zach. That leaves only one step. What's left?
The first one. Now, it's shared, like all steps this week. Shared between two men, except for the second step, which wasn't. But this is complex. That makes sense. No, it doesn't make any sense. Who's first? Because the order that you read them out in is the way that they're going to think of themselves as tied for the win, but who really came first. So do you want to say their names at the same time so that they both feel like they won?
How can I make this fair? There's got to be a way I can make this fair. All right, the number one predictor this week, Ben Hassell. He predicted Rosberg to take pole, Hamilton to win, and Ericsson for 10th. So he was only one position off on the predictions, you know. But then the A predictor was Nathan at Beer Mogul.
Ah, such a good
Ben's
friend.
Number one, Nathan's letter A. Nathan, Hamilton for pole, Hamilton to win, Perez for 10th, he got 11th. So you were both equally close. That's how fair this system is, that you both share the top step. Well done, guys.
Maybe on a count back, ham, you know, the win and pole, but we're not in countback territory yet. Now, Rod, just a quick question. Are we keeping track, like, yes, long-term? So maybe a mid-season update on who's winning these predictions so far, or will we wait until the end of the season?
Well, that could be something that maybe goes up on the website or whatever. Ooh. I have all the spreadsheets saved, but you keep volunteering me for all this work, and I'm like, oh, I'm already doing everything.
Yeah, that's fair enough, too. I just don't think you work hard enough, though. You look, Rod, if you want it, thanks, you've got to work hard.
I could probably work less or sleep less or eat less, one of those. There's got to be some wiggle room there.
Drink less.
Speaking of wiggle room, for some reason, I could shower less. I'm certainly not going to talk less because what's up next is the review of the Chinese Grand Prix.
That's it.
Australia.
Malaysia.
China.
Formula One.
Bahrain.
España.
Monaco.
There's been a shanty too.
Canada.
Österreich.
I was just asked to conduct the interviews.
Britain. Deutschland.
Hungary.
Belgium.
Speaking Italian.
Singapore.
Japan.
Russia.
Hold on, the force Indians hit each other.
America.
Mexico.
Brazil.
Abu Dhabi.
I've won more than you've won, which makes me the worthy champion.
I was going to add a segue for you. Sorry. Speaking of wriggling on the line, Lewis Hamilton.
It's not too late to do that.
He wiggled him all up onto the start and was pointing pretty much directly in front of Rosberg, just to make sure that when he started, he was just going to be going sideways. Which is an interesting, a ballsy move. Ballsy.
I think someone, it might have been Martin Brundle, said after the race, I'm not sure he did that on purpose. And I was like, no, he definitely did it on purpose. But then after the race, Lewis Hamilton said, I just did a burnout and I was sort of trying to get my car pointing that way, but it probably just went a little bit further than I was planning. But I mean, it worked out pretty well because off the line he was sharp. He had no wheel spin. It was all good. People were saying, well, by the time he corrects, if he's changing gear when he corrects, he might lose a little bit. But that was all just junk. He took pole. He commanded, you know, lights to flag this weekend. It was always going to be his to win. It didn't ever look in doubt, did it?
No, it didn't. It was classic, what we can now say is classic Hamilton after, 22 races of watching him do this or something similar, which is great for him. And his fans, but Paul Rosberg didn't ever really stand a chance.
Well, he stood a chance, but I think he was probably relying on Hamilton to make a mistake or something else to interfere with the result. So, I mean, do you want to talk about this controversy now, or where do you want to go next?
Let's talk about the controversy. I do just want, like, just before we get to really deep controversy, I will just say that it just seems like when Rosberg is following behind Lewis, he's so keen on, like, okay, let's manage the difference now, and then I'll make a run at him later. Instead of just going like, this is the best opportunity right now at the start of the race. You know, I know you might not get him on the first, and this goes either way. Lewis is coming second, or Ross is coming first, whatever. But take the opportunity early. Like often after the first couple of laps, Nico's like, all right, guys, don't tell me to get closer. I want to just be, you know, 1.5 to 2 seconds away, so I can manage and drive quick laps, and then later in the race, I'll catch him on a pit stop or something like that. But it's like, no way, man. You're always going to be reacting. There is no way they're going to bring you in first or put you on a competitive strategy. Like, they're just going to, now you're 1 and 2, they're just going to run you on race strategies that will get to the end in 1 and 2. So take that opportunity right now, because you're not going to get any faster than him later.
I was just letting you go on that because you seem like you had a head of steam, and I do too. Mm. I think we pretty much agree. I think in this case, what Rosberg did wrong was he was trying to defend his ability to launch an attack for later in the race, when he should have either made a choice and said, well, I'm either going to try and drive for second today and protect that from Vettel, or I have a chance now to have a run at him for the win. I should do that now.
Yeah.
And a lot of, let's say people who prefer Hamilton over Rosberg were saying that if Rosberg is so good, Hamilton's done this in the past when he's faster, when he has a concern, when his tires are better, when Rosberg's trying to conserve, have a go at him, have a race at him, make a race of this. Don't try and protect your advantage for the third stint when you're in the second stint. Just race. Just stop thinking. That's the problem. Rosberg's overthinking it.
Yeah, and it may be, I don't know, there might be a little bit of a sense of, and this is pure conjecture, but that's what the show is for. You know, is he maybe trying to keep the team on side by being conservative? You know, I'll do what you say. This is our plan. Let's stick to it. Let's not challenge the status quo. You know, he could start being it'll at least make it interesting if he was like, you know what, guys, these tires are fine. I'm staying out. And they're like, no, come in. And he's like, no, I'm changing the strategy. If we're going to win, I'm going to force the win. Because that's what, you know, it just, I don't know. I feel like that's something that Lewis Hamilton, if he was in, Lewis Hamilton races his way out of these predicaments. and out of bad form, he races his way into form and making himself feel better. I think that's been a big part of his, you know, his enlightenment since he's come to Mercedes, is that the best way for him to prove detractors wrong and to show his ability is to just race really, really, really well and put it all out there on the racetrack. And, you know, sometimes that manifests itself in controversy, which we'll come to now, but I prefer that to the way Rosberg's going about his business.
I mean, I'm assuming everyone's seen the race or at least heard about what we're talking about, but just to clarify, Rosberg accused Hamilton of driving unnecessarily slow in the lead, which would have pushed Rosberg into the dirty air and chewed up his tires. So Rosberg kept falling back. But the problem was that Vettel, you know, Ferrari are doing pretty well. And Vettel was actually not exactly on Rosberg's tail, but he was certainly getting to within striking distance. And it was, they were approaching the second stint, a pit stop. So Rosberg was worried that, you know, I need to, you know, the agreement that we have at the team is that whoever's leading has their call on the pit stops first. And the second guy just has to react. Mm. But with Vettel catching, he could easily pit, get on fresh tires and get some good laps in and actually end up overtaking me for second. Everyone's had their opinion on this, and I think we're both agreeing that Rosberg was probably just being a bit of a whinging sook. But I think the only issue that confused me or put any doubt about what he said was when he said, we talked about this before the race. We talked about this exact scenario where the guy is first, the second Mercedes driver is second, and you push him back into the path of the Ferrari driver in third. I don't understand why throughout all the interviews, no one went, hang on a second, you mean you talked about this before the race? You mean you guys said that this might happen and now you're saying it has happened? Like, I mean, everyone just sort of ignored that and went, so, you know, tell me more about your feelings, because that's explosive TV or radio. Like, it just seemed like that one stuck out in my mind as that is the key to this. That's the crux to this. Did they talk about it before the race? Was it a thing that they discussed, even planned, even joked about? Was it taken seriously? Should we be taking it seriously now? I guess there's a race coming up in another few days, and frankly, I think this will all probably just blow over and Nico won't have done his reputation any good, but did you think that was an issue at all for you?
It is an issue for me, because I'm sure they're talking, like, I'm sure that Toto Wolff and Niki Lauda and the rest of the team at Mercedes are, like, talking through every possible scenario from now on. You know, what if Williams going to run on you on the straight? What if, you know, things don't work well off the line? Sebastian's a brilliant starter, so is Kimi. You know, what happens if, you know, how do we pit you? What goes on? You know, how do we double stack you when there's a safety car? All those kinds of scenarios. Mm. So, of course, they've talked about this kind of thing. But it just frustrates me so much because, you know, Nico Rosberg is a fantastic driver, but I just can't put him in the same category as some of the other drivers I've always admired or really liked, because they would drive their way out of this. If the guy is driving slow in front of you, you nail him. You get right behind him and you put some pressure on him and you go, yeah, I'm right here. Yeah, I'm burning my tires. But guess what? You make an error and I'm passed. And that's the race done. You know, you can't, I can't imagine the great races. You know, I can't imagine Prost, Senna, Schumacher, Sebastian Vettel ever. And can you imagine if Mark Webber was trying to push Sebastian Vettel back into the third position driver? Seb would just nail him. Absolutely him. So would Kimi Raikkonen. Like, you could just continually list off drivers who would drive their way out of this situation. And Nico's decided to go the, well, that's not fair. That's not nice. That's not sporting. And Lewis is like, mate, I'm leading. I'll run my own strategy. Thank you very much. You still came second. Shut up.
Sebastian Vettel said after the race the same thing that Rosberg had said, that it's actually really, really hard, very, very difficult to follow someone in turbulent air. It does chew up your tires. Rosberg said to the team, he must have asked what the condition of his tires was after the first stint, because apparently he was making a push and he asked for, I guess they can't tell him, drive this way to save your tires, but they can tell him, here's the condition of your old tires. The front left was pretty bad. The rears were really good. How about you get out there and light it up? And then he was firing back, really kind of whinging, like, I can't do that because of this. Blah, blah, blah. So I think the reaction from the listeners and people that we interact with on social media have all been the same. No one's really a fan of the way Rosberg handled it. I would point to last year with a lot of examples where Rosberg misdrove the car, made physical mistakes in driving the car, missed corners, took wrong apexes, did whatever, outbraked himself, especially, you know, think of Russia or whatever. This year, I would say Rosberg's been making tactical mistakes, mental mistakes, and he didn't make those mistakes last year. He's driving, he's keeping it on the road. The intellectual in him is overpowering the raw racer within him. So I want to see that raw racer come back out.
Yep, exactly right. You know, that right. I agree with you. Next thing.
Oh, that's good. I agree with you as well. Oh. But let's move on to something else. Where do you want to go next? We can go anywhere.
No, let's.
We don't have to follow the notes.
No, let's. I want to talk about Williams because I just want a quick comment. It's a short thing, but maybe let's talk about the race overall because I look down the race results and I say, yeah, that's about where I expect everybody to be now. You know, two Mercedes at the front, two Ferraris right behind them, two Williams drifting. The two together close, but 10 seconds behind Ferrari, 10 seconds in front of their closest rival in, well, not closest rival, maybe not in Lotus, but until the next drivers. They just don't have the pace for Ferrari, but they're much faster than everybody else. Where are they? Or they're much faster down the straights than everybody else. Where are they going to be at the end of the season? Are they going to be happy with third in the Constructors' Championship? Yeah, I guess so, but they were hoping, everybody was sort of over the winter going like, hey, they make some good tweaks to the car. They find a little bit of extra pace. They've got the same engine as Mercedes. They've got maybe not the same technical might, but they've got some great minds there. Maybe they can make the push. And then Ferrari just come out of nowhere and just show everybody how it's done. I don't get it. I don't know how they could fall behind.
I mean, they were wrapped last year to jump Ferrari in the final few races for third in the championship. This year, Ferrari's overtaken them. They're still third in the championship, and they're a long way off first and second. And there's a few rumors coming out of Williams that they have a little bit of cash now. They did okay last year. When Pastor Maldonado left, they did okay out of that. He left them a nice, big, fat Monopoly bag of money. And I think the talk around, you know, the whispers around the paddock, the leaking out of the junior members of the team or the engineers or whatever, is that, you know, we're sitting on cash. And if the performance isn't there and we've got surplus cash, there's a really easy solution to this problem. Let's throw it at the car and hope it gets faster.
Yeah, exactly. Start using it as fuel. Something, anything. Mm. Yeah, so I think we clear these. That's just a quick aside. I've never really understood until moving to Europe or to the UK why people complain about the start of the season. It's hell, mate. I hate getting up early Sunday morning to watch a Formula One race. It's a real weird way to start your day, and it's a really slow way to start the season.
Wasn't it 7 a.m.?
Yeah.
Oh, are you kidding? I was up earlier than that to do this.
No, I know, but it's just a weird, you know, I'm not enjoying the races as much as on a nice Sunday night, but that's a small complaint. Yeah. Anyway, the point is that I can see why teams can make such big, you know, big jumps when they come back to Europe. When the races come back to Europe, you know, technology speeds up again. Upgrades happen on the car day by day. Maybe Williams are saving their cash for then. You know, maybe they've got some good upgrades in the pipeline, but the season might have flown by them by then. You know, if Ferrari are locking down wins and seconds and thirds and fourths, you know, podiums galore for Ferrari. I don't know when Williams are going to get a sniff.
There might be tracks later in the year that suit them a little bit more as well. I'm not saying they're dead and gone. I just don't think that they'll be challenging for wins like they were possibly going to do last year. They're just not on that edge anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
What about Ferrari, though? Can we talk about them? Because they're actually coming back into form.
Yeah, and it's so nice to see both drivers in form. You know, Kimi's just hopped in the car and it works and it's everything he likes except for the back markers that he thinks his words are magical, that he's just going to yell into his radio, get these idiots out of the way, and suddenly they'll just move over. It's like, you got to, dude, wait until you get somewhere that they can actually move out of the way. And Seb is just so classy. He's just so classy and so racy. Like he's chasing and always putting pressure on. And I think that, I reckon, you know, Mercedes can feel him breathing down their necks even when they're not racing. You know, I reckon that everybody in that garage is like, maybe I'll just put an extra 5 minutes of work in today because Seb will definitely be putting that extra 5 minutes in.
It'll be good when Raikkonen can actually get a good qualifying session done without any issues and he can get himself genuinely right up there for fourth because, I mean, we kind of saw this week that off the start, he's no slouch. I think the old Kimi, the Kimi of old is still there, and sometimes he gets accused of, if the wind's not on, he doesn't try. He drove the car last week from 11th or 12th up to 4th. He got it
after a puncture.
You know, I think that he can see Rattel putting in the performance and going, I know the car's there now and all I need to do is try and the results will come my way. He may not be, I expect to see him on the podium at least a few times this year. He may not be winning any races this year, but I mean, he can see the performance is there. So whether he's just encouraged by, maybe he just gets on better with Vettel as well, who knows? But yeah, I want to see the Kimi of old back. I want to see that name, Raikkonen, back up on that podium.
Yeah, I want to see the, you know, at Spa where he'll just be like, nope, you know what, guys? I'm just going to drive this to the end. Don't even worry about it. And and get a win. You know, he's got the X factor. That's why we love him. It's the Iceman. There's a young man by the name of Max Verstappen who leaves people dead in the water when he catches up to them. just decides, but I all the road is the right road for me to overtake you, and I will get by you, and I'm going to muscle my way in. And what do you mean? Who are you, Fernando Alonso, or some random other driver? Just driving around you. You're slow. It's brilliant.
He's pulling off these overtakes that he's surprising absolutely everybody. And I think perhaps in the first few races, people assumed, oh, he might have made a mistake there and he just braked really late. But luckily for him, he's held it together and all the better. He's overtaken someone. I think he's showing now, no, I plan to do that. That was less arse, more class.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like he's having to plan his whole race around, and he's just driving the wheels off it and taking every single half opportunity that is there. But he's also so mature. He's not driving up the backs of people. Like, God, Jenson Button drove right into the back of Maldonado in a mistake that is maybe Jenson Button would have made 12 years ago and not this weekend. Like, did he get a little bit blind or something? I love that we all just blamed Maldonado as well, because it was like, oh, Maldonado must have forgot where his accelerator was. That was why it happened. But no, Jenson Button just made a mistake. But Max Verstappen, like, he could have 20 years of racing in front of him. He could win 15 championships. He's phenomenal.
Yeah, he could be right there by the time he's 19 or 20. And I mean, I've got it in the notes here, but depending on how Kvyat goes this year, I mean, Kvyat obviously didn't have a shining moment when he held up Daniel Ricciardo at this race when they were on different tyre strategy, and I think the team asked him to let him through, but he certainly didn't do him no favours. Let's say Kvyat has a hot and cold year, no amazing performances, and maybe a few dud races, but Verstappen puts it in every week in, week out, and let's say later in the year, Renault and Franz Tost have some serious talks about buying Toro Rosso. Do you reckon they'll pull Verstappen out of Toro Rosso and put him in that Red Bull seat instead of Kvyat?
Oh, it's so difficult. Like, I mean, Red Bull like to give a driver more than a year. They like to give him 2 years. And if you're not if you're not going anywhere after a couple of years, and, you know, they took a chance on Kvyat. You know, God, if you knew you had Verstappen up there, I can't pass them as far as PARSE. They're almost the same, but one's much more talented. They should have just put Verstappen in the Red Bull and kept Kvyat as the senior driver at Toro Rosso. Like, they'll probably look back on this as an error. Yeah. And
you'd probably also be a bit worried about putting a 17-year-old straight into an F1 car. If he has one more year of F1 experience under his belt and, you know, it shows that I'm more than capable of getting the most out of this car, why not put him in the senior team?
Well, but, I mean, what about if Renault decide to buy this Toro Rosso team, maybe they can lure him away from Red Bull. Mm. Maybe they can be like, that's the deal. We'll buy the team, but we want Kvyat's contract. And
we want the drivers.
I mean, Carlos Sainz Jr., he's pretty good, but Sainz Jr., but you want Verstappen. Yeah. He's the guy you can build a brand with. You know, if Renault are going to go into a next phase of building a Formula One brand, he's the guy you want. Because he could be the next Fernando Alonso.
I'm excited about Verstappen. I know his dad was talking him up before the race, saying, no, he's a complete driver. He's better than I was.
Hard.
It's looking so. I don't want to overhype the guy, but who knows? I mean, this is certainly a guy to watch. And, well, I mean, he's making that mid-pack exciting. If you're the kind of guy who just watches the race to watch a Ferrari win and you kind of zone out when Ferrari aren't on the screen, this is exactly the kind of guy that you should be watching, because who knows? He might be in a Ferrari in 3 years. Who knows?
Well, he might be the kind of guy that when it rains in Brazil or Monaco or something, pulls off a rain. Like, right. You just, in Canada, it's terrible. He'll just, something could happen. You know, he's the man.
You mentioned Monaco. Thinking back to Monaco last year, that was the last time Romain Grosjean was in the points. And this week, Romain Grosjean fulfilled the potential of this year's Lotus and got it into the points. Maldonado was also looking okay, but he had several crazy incidents, some braking issues, some remembering where the pits are issues. So he didn't have a great race, and then he got slammed into by Jenson Button, as you mentioned. But Grosjean is showing that the Lotus is there or thereabouts.
I don't know where they fit in the scheme of things, but if they can just continually keep wrapping in points, then it's a good start.
Hmm.
But who knows the future of that team? It's all over the place, you know.
It's just a bit of encouragement for Grosjean, because he's been so up and down. His form was down. He got on top of that. The form of the car was down. They've gotten back on top of that. This is like it's a crazy, you know, merry-go-round that I'm on with following Grosjean's career. I just hope he can have a few more successes before, you know, who knows what's going to happen with teams. I mean, I just want to see a bit more success for that guy.
Yeah, exactly. So do I. I think that's everything, Rod. I mean, a little bit unorthodox of us to not go through corner by corner this week, but I think that's how we want to keep it going moving forward. People watch the race. They know what happened. You know, there were streakers. Yeah, you know, Verstappen's car couldn't fit into the thing because the marshals forgot how a car works. Yeah. They just put it on full lock and tried to push it in. And even Brundle's like, it's not going to go. It's not going to go. Crunch. No. Oh. And then they had to take the nose off only after the race. Like one of Toro Rosso's engineers came out and gone, oi, that's my car. Yeah. Stop mucking about. What are you doing? And they took the nose off and pushed it in. Like, it's so weird.
No. Guido van der Garde, with his forklift experience, could have told them that the Formula One car does not have the same turning radius that a forklift has. That's what they needed, but they just didn't have it.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was comical. It was hilarious. It gave the crowd something to cheer about. It spoiled the end of the race, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, there was still plenty for us to talk about. There's still plenty to look forward to.
Yeah, exactly. I was feeling a little down after the race that maybe the season's going to be a bit meh. But I don't think so. The racing was still good when people were racing against each other. All right.
So the race is done. We can move on to a few more things. In fact, I'm feeling a bit sleepy. It might be time for a little bit of an F1 dream.
F1 dreams.
A dream come true.
How is there not a yawn in the F1 dreams theme? We should fix that.
Surely there's audio of like Raikkonen yawning at a press conference or something.
Yawning, yeah, like, probably. There's definitely photos of him asleep. F1 Dream, Zach, I've been meaning to sizzle this for a few weeks and I forgot all about it, but then a few things happened. I had one, and then a listener had one, so we're going to go through them. I can whip through mine pretty quickly because it was quite, let's say, straightforward. Have you had an F1 Dream for a little while? You were the driver of this one initially.
I've got one. I have one. I'm showing you on the camera that I wrote it down in my notes. Well, I don't even know when. It was ages ago because I was saving it for when this was going to happen. So hopefully I haven't used it on the show already, but I'm pretty sure I haven't. But why don't you whip through yours, we'll go to mine, and then we'll go to the listener dreams.
That's what I'm excited about. So mine was pretty... I've actually had a couple recently, but it's usually just stupid stuff. Like you just wake up going, F1 car, what's the dream about? No, I can't remember. But this one I do remember. This one was, it's set in the not too distant future where you've got Romain Grosjean and Michael Schumacher driving for Ferrari. Yes, he came back, made a recovery, and I guess they felt sorry for him or something, but they put him straight into their car. And their car's a world beater. They're leading, okay? Grosjean first, Schumacher second.
Wow, I can buy into this.
Grosjean pulls into the pits. He's ready for a pit stop. He knows what this F1 game's all about. Mm-hmm. But behind him, Michael Schumacher gets on the radio to the team and says, you know, my tires are feeling really, really good. Can I speed up now? And they were like, oh my goodness, Michael, no, do not speed up because these tires will fall off the cliff. And Michael still thinks it's 1997 or something. And he's like, no, I know how these tires work. I can rip the shit out of these things. It won't be a problem. And they're like, Michael, please, no, it's not 2000. It's not 1997. It's 2017. No, the tires will definitely fall apart. Do not do that. In fact, if you could save some fuel, please, that would be great. And Schumacher's like, save fuel? Why would I need to save fuel? When I pit, you can just refill me back up again. And they were like, no, Michael, again. Oh, you're thinking of a bygone era, my friend. We can't refuel your car. You have got what you've got, and that's it. And he seemed very, very confused.
Yeah.
And then I woke up, and I was like, oh, Michael. You're so cute.
Sad Michael. It is cute, isn't it? That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That's a solid F1 dream. I love it when there's racing involved.
That's not bad.
That, you know, you get one race every couple of weeks, but then you're having races in your dreams. It's pretty good. All right, mine's a quick one.
What have you got?
I've been having London-related dreams since moving here. So this one was Lewis Hamilton, right? Picture Lewis Hamilton, but in one of those painter overall, white overall setups. I'm on the tube train, you know, going along in the tube, pulls into the station. I get off, start walking through the tube corridors, and there's Lewis Hamilton in his white overalls, painting over graffiti with white paint, and just generally cleaning up the city. Just because, and that's it. That's all it was. It was so weird. Not related to Formula One other than just Lewis Hamilton cleaning up graffiti.
So you're walking around London going, man, there's a lot of graffiti. Someone should do something about it. And then you're thinking Lewis Hamilton and you're like, yeah, he seems to be cleaning up just in general. Maybe he could clean up my town.
You know what, Rod? There just isn't a lot of graffiti around. I think he's either really, really active or graffiti is so out of fashion in London that it's all in Melbourne now.
Yeah, he's like the reverse Banksy.
All right, this isn't about us, Rod. As we always say, the show is about the listeners. Surely they have some F1 dreams.
No, we have a brilliant F1 dream. This one's from Scott in Alberta, Canada. How's it going, Scott? We mentioned Alberta on the radio. Everyone can cheer now. This is your designated spot. Alberta, 3, 2, 1, cheer. You can hear that one from Melbourne. This is Scott's F1 dream. This is his email. He says, g'day, gents. He says, I'd like to share a vivid F1 dream from last night. In the dream, I was actually Fernando Alonso, and I was being driven around by Flavio Briatore in a big black SUV, so it already has like a 24 kind of feel. We arrived at a nondescript office building, like the building from The Office, in quotes. Think of the show. But he says it turns out it was actually Renault F1 headquarters, and he was there to meet with boss Pat Simmons.
Ooh.
He says, I didn't seem to think it was 1995 or 2005 or 2009 for that matter. And I wasn't speaking Italian, babidi boopy, but I seemed to vaguely be aware that Renault didn't actually have an F1 team anymore and Pat Simmons was no longer with the team. There was nothing F1 related in the office. It just looked like a bunch of accountants work there. I think that's most F1 offices, especially when you go to the corporate headquarters. Yeah. There's not just Fernando swanning around being like, g'day chicks.
Can you imagine?
But he says, however, the receptionist wouldn't let him in unless he put on a blue and yellow Renault racing suit. Even though I knew I was still a McLaren driver, I stripped right down in the middle of the office and put on the racing suit. And then I found myself in a small, unimpressive office with Flavio and Simmons. I wasn't aware of anything talked about as I was fixated on Pat Simmons' classically British teeth and his shiny gold chain. The same thing happens to him when he sees him on Real Life on the TV. So he says, there wasn't much of a conclusion, but the implication from the dream, this is what's exciting, was that Renault would have a full works team again and that I, brackets Fernando Alonso, brackets, would drive for them. So you heard it here first. Alonso returns to Renault after a disappointing season with McLaren. Keep up the good work. That's his words. But you should also keep up the good work, Scott. Good dream. Thanks for letting us know. And thanks for letting us, you know, giving us a bit of a window into the future of what's going to happen. Yeah. Fernando.
It's
not going to finish at McLaren at all.
Yeah. Game recognized a game on that dream. A plus dream. It's a lot of details to remember too. Good job. Must have kept a notebook by his bed.
But that's to say, if you have an F1 dream, send us an email at superlicensepodcast@gmail.com. Send us the text. You can record audio yourself if you like. Mm. But that's F1 dreams. It's a back for the year. So remember, when you're going to bed, if you wake up with something, make a note like me and Zach did.
Yeah, exactly. Amazing. Well done. All right, Rod.
I'm feeling dumb, Zach. Can you make me smarter?
Yes, with a quiz.
Super quiz.
Super quiz.
The first question is for you, Karl Marx.
Yeah.
All right, Rod. Now, I know you love yourself a quiz. I love a quiz, too.
Love it.
And you know what? Yes. We talk a lot about drivers and teams and team history and drivers, but you know who we don't talk about? The men behind the teams.
The unsung heroes.
One man specifically, the man behind many teams' designs for their cars. Have you any idea of who I'm talking about?
James Allison.
No, Adrian Newey. Close.
No, Adrian Newey. Of course it's Adrian Newey.
Yeah, of course it's Adrian Newey. So, Rod, this is the Adrian Newey quiz.
Newey.
I was trying to come up with a good name. You know, it's not the oldie quiz, it's the newie quiz. So, all right.
Good one.
Ronnie Gordon. There is one little fun factoid about Adrian Newey that people know. One little fun little anecdote. He does one thing very differently to all the technical office engineers, designers out there. What does he do that they don't?
Is this the one where he draws everything by hand?
Yes, Rod. Well done. Yeah, he still designs with pen and paper and books. If you can get your hands on that notebook that he carries around, you could sell that on eBay for all the dollars. All of the dollars. Where everybody else is using CAD and all that other junk, he's drawing with pencil like a child. Like a child. Probably uses one of those fancy mechanical pencils, though, like streamlined design that he designed with a different pencil. Amazing. Anyway, how many teams has Adrian Newey designed the car that has won the Constructors Championship with?
Is it three?
Yes, it's three. Well done.
Yeah. Do you want me to name them?
Yeah, I do want you to name them. You seem so confident.
I think, well, I'm thinking Williams, McLaren, and Red Bull.
That's it. That's done.
Like, is there a third? Is there a fourth one? I can't think of any. No. He's been pretty successful.
Well, you know why? You know why I chose this? Because I watched that 1998 round two on the train up to Edinburgh the other day, and I saw him during the broadcast. I was like, oh, he's got so much hair, and he's incredible. So young. He looks incredible.
Not just hair, a full mullet.
Yeah, like he just looks like he stepped out of 1998 because it was then. All right, now speaking of dates and years, what year did Adrian Newey join Red Bull?
What year did he join Red Bull?
Amid some controversy, I might add.
Oh, I'm going to throw out a number there, and that number will be 2009.
No, a little bit late. 2006.
Late? 2006.
Yeah. He was designing there for a long time before they won.
Yeah.
They won in
2000. Well, that explains it though, right?
Yeah, it does. You know, it explains it. He worked really hard. See, when he came to Red Bull in 2006... he came really, really late, like November, so he didn't get to design the car for 2000 and and six or seven, or whatever. So he wasn't involved in that. But speaking of how long it took him to design a really good winning car, he has had some bad seasons as technical director or head aerodynamicist or engineer or anything like that. But in 2008, it was a particularly bad season. Which team, embarrassingly, finished ahead of Red Bull in 2008?
Embarrassingly?
Yeah.
It could be embarrassing because they were crap, or it could be embarrassing because it was the team that he left. So I'll say McLaren.
No. Toro Rosso.
No.
Beat them in 2008. Super awkward.
Of course, they got that one, that win.
Yeah, that junior sister team smash you in 2000. Well, not smash you, but they Red Bull had a good start to the season. You know, Coulthard was doing all right. And then the second half of the season, they just didn't win anything or get even any not points. So they got 2 points yeah. or something in the second half of the season. Toro Rosso swooped in front of them. And you know what, Rod? I think in 2015, that might be the case again.
They've certainly shown that they can do it. It's just a matter, I guess, of whether Red Bull can, you know, if their ducks all line up for either team, they could be the victorious one. And that's just not how it's meant to be.
No, it's meant to be. It's completely different. All right. There is one driver who has driven newly designed Formula One cars at two different teams. Who's that man?
David Coulthard.
There it is. Boom. I knew you'd get it. I was littering the whole quiz with little you know, little hints. 1998, he was there. You know, yeah. David Coulthard was at Red Bull in 2008. You know, here we go.
Yeah.
It's like when, you know, you're doing multiple choice and you read further ahead into the multiple choice. You're like, wait a second. One of the questions is the answer to this one. So, you know, lots of hints everywhere. All right, Rod, you've done really, really well. Much better than I expected. Here's the final question.
Okay.
Adrian Newey, he hasn't just designed cars in Formula One. What other car championship has he designed cars for?
Isn't it like endurance racing or something?
No.
Do you have to be more specific than that? I don't know.
No, it's not. No, it's the American one. It was CART, or Champion Auto Racing Teams, Champ Car, which then combined into IndyCar, which is now IndyCar.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they combined later. But yeah, that was one of his first jobs, coming out in like real car design. Designing CART.
I guess you got to start somewhere. I think actually Herman Tilke, who designs the tracks, he started in IndyCar as well before being promoted to F1. Pretty sure that's right. As usual, I have no idea.
Someone could be completely wrong.
That's, I know a lot more about Adrian Newey now, especially, you know, what his name is. I thought there might have been questions about his son or most of it was within the limits of my intellect. And I've been stretched a little bit, which is exactly what you want from a good quiz brain workout.
Exactly. You wanted to get smarter. I did it. But yeah, now, Rod,
it's time for us to get smarter, though, about something else.
Let's preview what you think is one of the best races on the calendar.
So, what's next?
It's Fernando Alonso here to check my lap from the French Grand Prix. Start approaching the main straight. You try to do the last chicane to have a nice exit. Last chicane to have a corner. And then the first quick chicane for the circuit, right left, around 240 kilometers an hour as well in safety, a very high chicane. Again. Now we approach the second chicane, similar characteristics of the first one.
Now, we're gonna preview the Bahrain Grand Prix, but you say that I think it's the best race on the calendar. What I'm actually saying is that last year's race was a great race. That's a bit different to saying I think this is the best race on the calendar.
I'll paraphrase you when I like, all right?
Oh, great. It's good to know the rules. Hamilton beat Rosberg last year in an epic battle, and Perez was third. How mental is that he was third?
I know, super mental. Remember how Perez was often at the front last year and then would make mistakes? Or get overtaken.
I'll tell you who barely remembers last year. He didn't remember much about it at the time. Esteban Gutierrez, he got flipped around by Maldonado, got absolutely taken to the cleaners. Gutierrez is still, you know, floating around the Ferrari garage. So I think if he sees Maldonado coming, he may just walk the other way.
Yeah, exactly. There's just, in fact, no reason for Gutierrez to be there. But Rod, how are you going to do it? What are you going to do? What are you going to pick? Who's your man?
Well, I mean, you're kind of crazy to bet against Hamilton at the moment. So that's why I'm going to do exactly that. And I'm going to say Rosberg is going to take pole. And I think if he can take pole, I think Rosberg will hang on and win. So then for 10th, that leaves, someone who's going to come in that position. So I'll probably go, let's say, Felipe Nasr.
I was going to go with Felipe Nasr. Damn it.
You can if you like.
Yeah, but you know, it's not interesting for me or the listeners. All right, you know what I'm going to do, Rod? This is the week. I'm going to grand slam it this week. It's Hamilton for pole, Hamilton for win, NASA for 10th. I've got a good feeling. It's like picking my numbers in the lottery. I've got a good feeling.
That prediction has "I want to win" written all over it. Like, literally, I want to win.
It's been so long. I've never won.
Oh, me either. I mean, we've been doing it longer than anybody. I think we'd get close at least every now and again. It's just a matter of time, mate.
We're
just
so
a matter
bad of time.
Hang in there. You'll do it.
All right. Well, we're laughing. We're having a good time. You know what happens when you continue to have a good time? You pop some champagne.
That's all I ever do. I have to pop so much champagne in my life. Like 10 a day. I can't afford this.
Use Prosecco. It's
Chinese Grand Prix episode, Zach. It's nearly done. Now, you probably remember, we started it all. It all started 2 years ago with this very race, the Chinese Grand Prix. Happy second birthday to us. Woo! We're walking awkwardly. It's good fun.
We're starting to talk.
Yeah.
Teeth are coming in.
But speaking of birthdays, it's my birthday next weekend. Now, do you know what that means, Zach?
Before you even put it in the notes, I know what that means, because I was going to suggest it to you, but I didn't get in there. I think I'm going to host as my gift to you. I'm going to do all the heavy lifting.
So I'll just show up at the next podcast recording and just be like, g'day, and I may be dressed, I may not, I don't know.
It's fine.
But you'll just have everything ready to go.
Yeah, I'm going to have the prediction podium all ready. I'm going to have all the news in, all my race notes in. You know what, Rod? I'm going to give you a special birthday quiz as well.
You're going to do two quizzes in a row?
Yeah, double quiz.
Oh, I'll make it up to you on the back end of the season then.
Yeah, get me on the back end. It's fine. It's my
pleasure. If you want to say happy birthday to me or to Super License, you can do so on Twitter. You do that at Super License, just at Super License. That's where you send us your predictions. That's where you just send us anything cool that you've come up with. A little bit like listener Nicholas did this week. So last episode, we were talking about Jensen Button being in Memento for some reason. We were talking about Guido Vandergaard and his forklift license. But Nicholas came through. He sent us those things. We tweeted those things. Someone tweeted to Guido Vandergaard, "Oh my God, check out what these guys have done." And he loved it. He retweeted it. And it got a lot of, it went places. So thanks, Nicholas, for that. That's exactly why I thought if people are putting in that kind of effort, I might make a little gallery on the website for those little things that you guys are making.
But you know what, Rod? You talk about listener interaction and getting at us on Twitter or going searching for Super License on Facebook and putting stuff in there or sending us an email at superlicensepodcast@gmail.com. You know why I like seeing all those things, Rod? It's because sometimes it can feel like we're just talking into the abyss. You know, the time is a flat circle abyss. But really, I need to know that people are listening. So I want to hear from you, even if it's not even an F1 dream or a prediction. I mean, surely you can send a prediction. Prediction's the easiest thing in the world. But if you just let us know you're listening.
You can tweet us on Facebook. Tweet us on Facebook? No, you can't do
that. Yeah, and status us on Twitter.
I've let slip. I went to a secret Twitter and Facebook meeting. They're merging into one thing.
Periscope us on Snapchat.
I'm in so much trouble. I shouldn't have said that. For now, just follow us on Twitter at SuperLicense. Find us on Facebook, SuperLicense Podcast. Go to the website.
Oh, so good.
Just superlicense.com.au.
.au, because we're Australian, bruh.
You can do all sorts of things there. We actually put a lot of content on there. But if you want to support SuperLicense and keep it going, we've got t-shirts for sale on there. We've got stickers for sale on there. Just this month, actually, I can confirm overnight, I woke up to the good news today that we'd sold one t-shirt. And that one t-shirt was enough to push us over the threshold. And we've paid for our server bill this month.
Yeah.
Yay, you guys did it.
Exactly.
So thanks everyone who's been buying stuff from there. You are literally keeping the lights on at the HQ here.
We need a building of accountants to make this revenue stream work.
No, I think that you guys should be really proud because you obviously are enjoying the show and we enjoy doing it. But I mean, if you guys can keep it going, you're what's driving the show. So we do it for you. And we appreciate the support that you're giving us. Thanks very much. If you want to buy a t-shirt, there's all kinds of colors. There's all kinds of sizes and cuts. They're not just men's shirts. There's women's tank tops, singlets, baby clothes. Yeah. I saw something come up that was like a baby, you know, like a onesie for baby.
Oh, amazing. If you buy a baby onesie and don't send me a picture, I'll be really disappointed.
I will be annoyed. if you are a little bit strapped for cash and you can't spare $40 or whatever for a t-shirt, there's stickers that are $3 Australian. That's super reasonable. Mm. And a little secret, if you buy 6 or more stickers, they're half price. I mean, that's nothing.
It's nothing.
That's nothing.
You can do heaps with stickers. You can put them on your fridge. I mean, they're hard to get off because they're very sticky. Yeah. But, you know, you can stick them on your laptop. That's a fashionable thing to do. Everybody in the study hall will know what you like.
It works out to be like six stickers for like $9. I mean, you can't buy anything for $1.50 anymore. Literally, you can't buy anything.
No, that's right. Not a thing. You can't even buy $1.50 with $1.50.
Not a thing.
Not with these taxes. Anyway.
And if you can only spend $1.50, just remember your $1.50 might be the one that tips us over the edge. So again, thanks everybody for supporting us. But if you can't support us, that's fine. Go to the website and just check it out anyway. Superlicense.com.au.
I think we're there. Happy birthday, Rod.
A preemptive one. Thank you. That's really nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out next weekend and have a few drinks. I know you're not here, but will you have a drink, in support?
Yep. I'll have a drink in support. And then on Sunday when the race is on at 4 p.m. local time, I might have a drink during the race too. Mm. Ooh.
Yeah. Enough complaining. I think it's like 2 a.m. or something. That's crazy. It's in that complete wrong zone. It's in the zone of no-go.
I'm super excited. Woo! A race in the afternoon.
We're all done. That's the show. We'll see you guys next week in Bahrain. Until then, I've been Rod.
I've been Zach.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Cue the music. Oh, yeah.
That you're dancing to make the oh yeah more festive.
Yeah, it's I'm doing the firing the guns in the air. Oh yeah.